It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and happy new week. This is the 5th of February, and we are glad to be with you today on the Worship and Wellness broadcast. And so we thank God for each of you. I like to remind myself that this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118, verse 24. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalms 122. Verse 1. God is good, and I would like to invite my wife, Andrea, to take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We ask for your spirit to come and abide with us. Teach us this morning the things we need to know. We ask for the anointing to be granted to our pastor. Fill him with your spirit, and may every word be as you would have it to be. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
God is good, my brothers and sisters. sisters, and it's time now for us to start our worship topic. It's entitled, They Started the Sanctuary, meaning they started building the sanctuary. We're in Exodus chapter 36, and without any further ado, we will begin reading Exodus chapter 36. Father, be with us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering, which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free will offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came, every man from his work which they had made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord had commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. And every wise hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twine linen in blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims and cunning work made he them. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits and the curtains were all of one size. And he coupled the 5 curtains one unto another and the other 5 curtains he coupled one unto another and he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the selvedge in the coupling. Likewise, he made in the uttermost side of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops made he in one curtain, and 50 loops made he in the edge of the curtain, which was in the coupling of the second. The loops held one curtain to another. You know, I want to pause here. That was 1 through 12. You know, they began to work. God called them wise-hearted. They did the work. It was not only Aholiab and Bezalel. They were just leaders. So leaders are to train and work with the people and the leaders together. They do the work of the Lord. So many wonderful things. And this was beautiful, friends. And there's lots of symbolism, fine twine linen, that was called the righteousness of saints in the book of Revelation. There was 50 loops. There were 50 days between between the Passover and Pentecost. And so that represents, of course, the expectation of the Holy Spirit. Just so much beautiful things. There was an edge of blue, just like the children of Israel wore a blue ribbon, a ribbon of blue on the borders of their garments. Blue is a symbol of obedience to God's commandments. You know, we have to obey God's commandments. I was just thinking, you know, God took the children of Israel and they were unconverted. They weren't converted, but he was working with them. And one of the first things he did is he laid down his law, meaning he told them what they must do. You see, some people think legalism, that's legalism. No, that's not legalism. If you don't have any idea, that's why we have Adam and Steve. That's why people grow up and they get to choose. Oh, I get to choose, am I a boy, am I a girl? Do you realize how foolish that is? How stupid that is? I get to choose whether I'm a boy or a girl. There's no bearing. There's no focus. There's no foundation. There's no compass. You can't let a child choose whether he's a boy or a girl, you know? And then they're influenced by television, influenced by drag queens and all kinds of things and all, you know, whatever. Somebody might even if someone their age does approaches them and maybe they don't know how to say no, and then they begin to engage in things that are not godly, and that influences their little delicate mind frames and bodies. And so no chart, no compass, but God had his word, and he had direct, specific instructions for even those people so that they might understand his perfect will and his way, and they would see the beauty of it. You see, when you understand God's commandments, you see the beauty of the commandment. And a lot of people try to, the Ten Commandments are totally separate, always have been. Nobody can tell you anything else. If they do, they're wrong. God wrote those with his own finger, and he made also other additional things that he gave Moses, some of which, the ones that were there's a word I'm looking for. It's the opposite of shadowy, that pointed forward, okay, that were futuristic in nature, in their symbolism, where the antitype would be a future point. If that represented something future in their ceremonial Sabbath, that was done away with at the cross, but not the seventh-day Sabbath, my friend. The Bible never says it was, and it was set in place before sin. Before sin, that was put in place. So God is good. I just wanted to pause and let you know, even though we're reading through lots of beautiful symbols here, and they're doing it. They're making the work. They're doing it. And see, because God had instructions and everything was clear, you could have people who, all of which were not fully converted, but they had order and structure, as they would then learn more about the character of God through this sanctuary. And he made 50 tashes of gold and coupled with the curtains, one unto another with tashes, so it became one tabernacle. And he made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 curtains he made them. And the length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain. And 11 curtains were on one side. And he coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And he made 50 loops up on the uppermost edges of the curtains in the coupling, and 50 loops made he up on the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And he made 50 tashes of brass to couple the tent together, that it might be one. And he made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and coverings of badger skin above that. What I want you all to understand is, if you were, you know, people have been talking about this spy balloon that just got shot down, right? If you were a spy balloon back in that day, you wouldn't see the gold, you wouldn't see the silver, you wouldn't see the brass, you wouldn't see the beautiful onyx stones if the priest was inside, and the jasper and the topaz and the all the different shiny jewels. You wouldn't see any of that. You would see, if you were a spy balloon, badger skin, and that was covered by ram skin dyed red. There was nothing that dazzled the senses. If you saw the sanctuary, you had to go in. And you see, that represented Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that there was no beauty. He had no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, physical features. He didn't choose to be the most handsome hunk on the planet. He didn't choose to be a Gillette man, as we used to say back in the day. Maybe, I don't know what they say today, but the point being made is, Jesus would have been, you might say, of average looks. He chose to be that way because he didn't want his looks. He wanted his character to be what drew people, my friends. And that's what we must understand, and that's what God wants for us today. And so he made the sanctuary such that the dazzling brightness was hidden from the outward view, just as he wants our dazzling brightness to be hidden from the outward view. In other words, not with gold or pearls or costly array, the Bible says. We should, God have us in this day and time not to be flashy with jewels and jewelry on the outside, but we shine from the inside with the character of God. Now, that doesn't mean we don't look nice and that we don't take care, because we are princes and princesses, but our shining comes from within, my friends, not from the exterior things. And he made boards for the tabernacles of shittim wood standing up. The length of a board was 10 cubits. The breadth of a board was 1.5. The board had 2 tenons, equally distant one from another, and thus did he make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side, southward, 40 sockets of silver he made under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, which is toward the north corner, he made 20 boards. And there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board and 1 socket under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward made he 6 boards, and 2 boards made he for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides, and they were coupled together, and coupled together at the head thereof to 1 ring. Thus did he to both of them in both corners. And there were 8 boards, and their sockets were 16 sockets of silver, every one board, 2 sockets. And he made bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the sides westward. And he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from the one end to the other. And he overlaid the boards with gold and made their rings of gold to be places for the barn, and overlaid the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen with cherubims, and made he of it of cunning work. Book of Hebrews will tell us that veil was Christ, my friends. The blue represents obedience to God's commandments. Purple is a combination of red and blue, scarlet and blue even, and that would represent royalty, and scarlet would represent the sacrifice, and the fine twined linen represents righteousness of Christ, okay? And he made thereunto 4 pillars of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and they cast for them 4 sockets of silver. And he made an hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen of needlework. And the 5 pillars of it were with their hooks. He overlaid them with chapiters, and their fillets with gold, but their 5 sockets were of brass. Praise God. God is good. It was beautiful, friends. Orderly, beautiful, organized, put together well, and all the instructions came from God himself. And they built it. They did it. They weren't completely done, but they were well on their way. And I want to simply say, a lot of us get nothing accomplished because we won't start. We won't just put our feet in the water, and then God can open up the Red Sea. Friends, we've got to get started. They started the work. They heard what God said. They read what God said, and they began to do the work. That's what God needs today. He needs people who see what he says and then go putting themselves in his hands humbly and executing the work of the Lord. Let's do it, friends, with God's help. Father, bless us as we move forward, as we get the work done with your help. In Jesus' name, we pray for every person who is burdened, sick, who is challenged, and who is even challenged in getting started. We pray that we will follow all of your principles in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my dear brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to transition. We do so with the torso song.
Brave. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and
We're talking today about scare tactics that keep you from being well. Scare tactics. You see, a scare tactic is a type of force. Okay, people who are abusive, they use scare tactics. Domestic abuse uses scare tactics. Whether it's work abuse, uses scare tactics. And scare tactics are being used today, my brothers and sisters. People who may not go along with something that they don't agree with, they can lose their job because they don't go along with it, even though they don't believe that that's best for their health, that it will make it detrimental for their health. And so we need to understand some scriptural principles. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The devil has always used that method, friends. Look at in the Bible. If Jesus had just gone along with the Pharisees, he wouldn't have been killed on Calvary's cross. So the fear of death was put in place to keep Jesus from dying on Calvary's cross, my friend. Daniel in the lion's den, if he had just gone along with the other presidents and those kinds of things and chose not to pray to God three times a day, he could have been kept from going into a lion's den, but he did not do that. He stayed faithful to the Lord in that hour of trial. The three Hebrew worthies, same thing, the fiery furnace. So you need to understand, if you are going to be faithful, the devil is going to use scare tactics. And one of the best things you can do is start practicing now by not letting scare tactics keep you from not being well. And so, friends, you have to obey God rather than man. The Bible says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And so when we read the blueprint that God has given us, and it tells us how to build our immune systems and how to keep our liver and kidney healthy, the live free lifestyle is what we like to call it. It's love God, include temperance, vital water, eat healthy, fresh air, rest, exercise, and enjoying sunlight. The eight principles of health with four what we call foundational principles. Those foundational principles, my brothers and sisters, are love for God in that sense, and trusting God, in other words, cleansing the body, a healthy lifestyle, and then natural remedies. And so we have to understand that mankind doesn't know, or if they know, they have ulterior motives to keep us from following this. Many scare tactics, many a person has been scared into taking chemo and scared into a surgery or whatever. We're not saying all methods from modern medicine are all bad. They're just not all good. And drugs don't cure. So we should always be trying to educate away from drug medication, friends. That's a solid principle. And I want to encourage you today that you don't have to be afraid. For God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, 7. And then 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. So we just need to focus on loving God more, and that means we'll spend time with him more, and he will build our faith. Faith is what will get you through those times when you're afraid to do what God says for your health. What God says for your health will generally be different than what man says for your health, and so you have a choice to make. Am I going to follow God? Am I going to follow man? All right, friends, that's our talk for today. It's time for us to open the phone lines. We start with roll call, and we will begin by letting you know that we have representation from Georgia, from Ohio, from Oklahoma, from Ohio again, from Delaware again, and from Maryland. And from Delaware again, from Ohio again, and we are your servants here in Pennsylvania. And if there's someone on Facebook, it looks like there is at least one. I don't know where that person, it doesn't show me who that person is. It just shows me that one person's watching. So I don't know where that individual is from, but God is good. Friends, if you would like to share anything, go ahead and press star 6 at this time. And definitely keep us in prayer as we are working in our wellness retreat here in February, working with the sick, and God is good. God is good. A lot of wonderful things are happening in God's work. We have to stay faithful. We have to stay close to God, and don't let the devil have his way. All right, we're going to go to Sister Odessa from over here. Good morning, Sister Odessa.
Good morning, Pastor and Sister Maria. It's truly a blessing to hear you guys this morning. Even though I'm from Oklahoma, right now I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana, with my family. I ask that you continue to keep my family in prayer. From the loss of my sister, we're getting ready to bury her on Friday. So I will be up here, but just blessing to get up and listen to the message this morning, each morning that I'm here. Thank you all so much.
You are definitely in our prayers. Your family is in our prayers, and we're glad that you're a little closer to us. We're just kind of like waving at you right now, but you're not that close. You're about 6 or 7 hours. That's a lot closer than Oklahoma, but we're praying for you, Sister Odessa, by sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. All right, friends, let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'll ask my wife if she is available to have our closing prayer.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask that we will continue to study these things out for ourselves, allow your spirit to teach us so we can have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We want to lift up to you, Sister Odessa, and her family. We know that they're going through a time of loss, a time of mourning. And we just ask, Lord, that you will give them comfort, love, encouragement, and strength. We pray that you will continue to be with her as she ministers to her family, as she witnesses to them, and grant her traveling mercies, Lord, throughout this time that she's away from home. We ask that you will bless every heart in a special way. Help us all to be committed to you and doing the work and to dedicate our lives every day where we can come to you asking for you to show us what's in our heart and to help us to get those things out that are ugly and wicked and evil. Lord, help us to be cleansed of all unrighteousness so that we can be transformed into your lovely and perfect image. We thank you for all that you do for us, and on this day, as we ultimately do service to you, we ask that we will be successful in these efforts, pausing throughout the day, asking you for guidance and counsel and all the things that we're needing, but most importantly, let us recognize you by giving you glory and honor and praise. For this, we thank you. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold. Kind houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust.